Let's turn here and let's celebrate Freedom Day and let's talk about a few things here. First is this, Patrick Henry. Does everybody know who Patrick Henry is? One of our founding fathers, one of the first governors of Virginia. He said this in his famous speech. He was before the Virginia legislators and he was trying to convince them to pass a resolution to allow the Virginia militia to release the troops to help in the Revolutionary War. And you know, and he stood up and he said this famous line. Say it with me: "Give me liberty, or give me death." How many of you heard that in your elementary school, right? All right. And there was pictures of Patrick, you know, standing tall and shouting. Well, the guy was actually kind of short and kind of little, and you know, but he shouted, "Give me liberty, or give me death. Give me liberty, or give me death." I want to ask us today, as we celebrate liberty, as we're celebrating America once again, we're celebrating our freedoms. Is there still a battle waging within our nation and in the church for liberty today? Is there still a battle waging now in the nation and in the church? Now, we can talk about this, right? We can talk about Jesus, and we can talk about politics. We can talk about America in the church, right? There is no true separation, right? God is in all things and for all things and through all things. So we're going to talk about this today, about do we have liberty in the church in America today, or are we dying in America and in the church today? Where are we at? Notice that in his speech, he said liberty. Does anyone in here know the difference between liberty and freedom? Does anybody know the difference? Or want to take a guess at that? If you look through the Constitution and the writings of the Founding Fathers, they talked about liberty. They mentioned freedom, and I'm going to tie this in all together, but they talk more about liberty. Here's what it is. Freedom is described as having independence, as a license to do what one wants, the permission to do as you please. That's what freedom is defined as. Richard Marbury, a writer and politician, he said, permission is necessarily granted by someone, which means freedom can be revoked by that someone entirely. When we use the word freedom, when we say freedom, a lot of times that's we say, well, I get to do what I want, right? People say, I have the freedom in America to do as I want. But how often have you heard someone talk about liberty? Liberty. That sounds like an old-fashioned word. That sounds like what those guys back in 1776 talked about, was liberty. Or maybe that was an old-fashioned word back in the Bible times, what the Romans talked about, or maybe what the Greeks talked about. But liberty has everything to do with the source. Liberty has everything to do with the source. Thomas Jefferson wrote this. He said that all men are created equal, are created by their creator with certain inalienable rights. The founders talked about liberty had a source, and liberty's source was in the Creator. When we read through the founding documents, we find that liberty was created by an almighty Creator. Liberty is something that we own and that a government cannot take away. It's by the Creator alone. Liberty can only be revoked by the individual itself. Just like Jesus told us, he said, "You abide in me and I'll be with you." But what Jesus said, you know, if you leave me, if you cut yourself off, what happens? You shrivel, you die. You can choose to walk away from Christ. You can choose to push the Holy Spirit out of your life. We've been talking about the last month in our series, the last series, of how we can push the Spirit out of our life. But in liberty is something that no one can take away. It's owned by somebody. It's from a source that's greater than the individual. Excuse me. In Galatians 2, 4 through 5, Paul opens up his letter here. And he says this, he's speaking now, he's speaking to the young church there in Galatia, it's in modern day Turkey, he's speaking to them, and he says, "Yet because of false brothers who were brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they may bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you." In some versions, it might say liberty, that word, our freedom or our liberty. Paul here states that there was a desire and there was some sort of conspiracy by some group. We don't necessarily know the group. We might think it had been some of the Judaizers, the Jews that wanted to take the Gentiles and the Jews that were believing in Jesus back into legalism, back into the Old Testament, and follow all the ways of the law. We don't know exactly who it is. But there was some group that was infiltrating, that was trying to come in and tell lies and once again pull the people back into slavery, back into the Old Testament, back into the old ways, and not in the new ways of Jesus in the new covenant. But what does Paul say here? He says that he and his co-laborers, they did not yield in submission even for a moment. That speaks about Paul and his workers. They had to choose. They had to choose. Were they going to give up the freedom, or were they going to continue to walk in Jesus and walk in liberty, walk in freedom, and follow him? The founders of our country differentiated between freedom and liberty because of the fallen world that we live in. In our fallen world, we distinguish between freedom and liberty. But when Scripture uses freedom and liberty interchangeably because Jesus is the source of both. And so the writers of Scripture use those interchangeably. But in our fallen world, our founding fathers used liberty because liberty suggested and showed that it was from a source that men couldn't take that away, that there was a creator, there was someone higher than them. Today in our Scriptures, we're gonna see that we are called to freedom, church. We are called to be free. We are called to liberty. But I want to suggest to us that sometimes in our walk with Christ, that sometimes we want to submit back to that yoke of slavery. And also in America, we're seeing this drift. We want to go back into slavery. We want to go back into things of the past that would enslave us and take us down not a path of freedom. So turn with me to the Galatians chapter 4 here. Galatians chapter 4, verse 31. It won't be on your screen, so turn along with me in your Scriptures, or if you've got a Bible app, or turn with me here. Let's read it here. We're going to pick up here in the middle of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Verse 31, starting, it says, and I'm reading out of the ESV translation, it says, "So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman." Chapter 5, "For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, or your version might say to sin, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Verse 16, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray, church. Jesus, in these next few moments, we ask that you would illuminate your word in our heart and our mind and our soul. Thank you that, God, you have come and you to set us free, and that we are free indeed by the Son of the Most High, of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that everyone here, no matter our past, no matter what the enemy is trying to lie to us today, that we would release that to you, knowing that, God, we've confessed our sins and you're faithful and just to forgive us of all things. And we can walk in peace, and we can walk in the fruit of the Spirit today. God, thank you for freedom, that you are the source of freedom. And no man, no Satan, no enemy, no government can take away the freedom that is found in you, Jesus. And we say praise you, in your name we pray, amen and amen. There's a lot here. Do you hear Paul here? Do you hear Paul in his words? how the church was being led back into slavery, being led back into things of the old covenant. But Paul's saying, hey, don't submit, don't go back. He's saying, stand firm. Stand firm. In our scripture here today, Paul was speaking to the young church about their own actions. This group that came in to deceive them, they didn't come up and, you know, Jason was the church of Galatia. They didn't come in, you know, and put a gun to Jason's head and say, Jason, go back to the old covenant, or, you know, or bring a sword out. You know, you go back to, you know, the old covenant, or we're going to kill you. No, they didn't do that. They just spread some lies, sowed some deception, and the people in their own action began to turn back. In our church in America today, how many of us and how many people do we see turn back to the old ways? Not because somebody's got a gun to their head. It's because we've chosen to revoke, to give up our liberty, we've given up the source of freedom, and we've chosen the path of lies, and we've turned. Paul said that the Galatians had tasted freedom, but now they're going back. Now they're going back. They're going back to death and to sin and enslavement. Like our own country today, Satan is just ever so slightly, he just keeps on creeping back in. Keeps weaving stuff, lies. He keeps weaving dissension and anger and all these different things. And in the church in our country, there's a tendency to turn, to pivot back to the old ways. But in Galatians 5:2 there, look at verse 2. Paul says, therefore, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Do not again submit to a yoke of slavery. Church, we have been set free. And on this celebrating freedom, on this weekend, we celebrate our nation's freedom and our freedom in Christ. Church, can I compel you, implore you, commend you, charges against you, don't turn back to slavery. Why is it that socialism, communism seems to be the end thing now? Wasn't that defeated years ago? Didn't we fight a war against tyranny? Didn't we fight a war against all this stuff? But yet it's almost like everybody's like, ooh, this is the new prize. Ooh, let's go back to this enslavement. How many people do we see in our own life and in the own church? They get set free and then they listen to the lies of the enemy and they turn back to their old ways. Church, Paul was commissioning the church, challenging them in the beginning, the infancy of the New Testament church. He was saying, don't turn back. He was saying, stop it. Don't do that. Don't go back to slavery. You are free. Run in that freedom. Today, as we celebrate freedom, I want to encourage you that you are free. The chains are gone. You were dead, but now you're alive in Christ. Church, don't turn back. Don't listen to the lies. Keep running in the freedoms that we have. Now, in America here, in our modern day life, we are seeing that Jesus has no place in Americana. He has no place in the government. We're seeing that in some churches, that Jesus doesn't even have a place in his own church. It's so sad. We're seeing progressive Christianity and progressive theology infiltrate churches. And we're seeing this pushback, this turn back to the pagan, turn back to enslavement. But I want to show you a few things today. That in our government, that Jesus is allowed. Romans 13 says that the government is God's servant to do his good, his bidding. And so let me remind us in this day, and we can talk about God and government together. I want to remind you a few things about what did our founders and our presidents, what have they believed in? What have they said about the Bible? And it's going to be on your screens here. The first one is this. Patrick Henry, once again, the one who said, give me liberty or give me death. He was the founding father and the governor of Virginia. He said, it's the Bible is a book worth more than all other books that were ever printed. That's what he said, and that's what he believed. President Andrew Jackson, he said, it is the rock on which our republic rests. Now, if you're listening out there, or right now, you might say, well, Pastor Dan, wait a minute. Didn't Patrick Henry own slaves? Answer is yes. Did Jackson own slaves? Answer is yes. Does sin disqualify the truth? No. Right? Sin does. Just because someone sinned or someone was in error doesn't mean that there's still not truth. You see, as our nation, yes, our nation was set on the premise of freedom for all. All men are created equal. Yet there was men and women that were enslaved. Does not negate the truth of the founding of the country, or the premise on which the republic rests in that. So let's keep going on here. Ronald Reagan said at the anniversary, this is when this quote is from, he was speaking at the anniversary, the 400th anniversary of the English Bible being translated and printed. He said, of the many influences that have shaped the United States of America into a distinct nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. The Bible and its teachings helped form the basis for the founding fathers' abiding belief in the inalienable rights of the individual, the rights which they found implicit in the Bible's teachings of the inherent worth and dignity of each individual. That was from the president at a national gathering talking about the founding, the 400th anniversary of the translation of the English Bible. If God's not supposed to be in America, or if America has no founding principles of God and belief, then why would the presidents begin to mention all this? So let's keep going on here. President Abraham Lincoln, he said, "The Bible is the best gift God has given to men." Notice he didn't say the United States, the Constitution. He said the Bible. He didn't say me, I'm the president, I'm the best gift. He said the Bible. He says, "All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong." President Abraham Lincoln. Next, down, Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence. He said, "The Bible contains more knowledge necessary to man in his present day than any other book in the world. By renouncing the Bible, philosophers swing from their moorings upon all moral subjects. It is the only correct map of the human heart that has ever been published." Benjamin Rush, if you know the story of Lewis and Clark, Benjamin Rush was also the doctor who was the doctor to what was Lewis and Clark? What was their big trip? I forget. I'm blanking out now. The Missouri Expedition, all that. Their whole trip out west here. He was their doctor. That's what he believed, and that he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. Next up here, James McHenry, another signer. He was a signer of the Constitution. He said, "The Holy Scriptures can alone secure to society order and peace, and to our courts of justice and constitutions of government, purity, stability, and usefulness. Bibles are strong entrenchments. Where they abound, men cannot pursue wicked courses and at the same time enjoy a quiet conscience." These were the people that founded our nation. But church, why are we so allowing our church once again, the America, to go back into yoke of slavery, back to separate and divorce God out of everything? Or go, hey, let's turn to communism, let's turn to socialism or fascism. That's not what we were founded upon. Noah Webster, schoolmaster to America, Webster's Dictionary, also served in the Continental Congress. He wrote, of all the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war, proceed from them despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. Man, come on, preach that. That's what we need in America. People turn back to the scriptures and know scriptures. Let's keep continuing on here. John Adams, famous signer of the Declaration, him and Abigail Adams, he said this. He says, "Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts they're exhibited. What a utopia. What a paradise would this region be. The Bible is the best book in the world." Once again, why do we separate Jesus and God from our nation and turn back to slavery? Lastly, the Journals of the Continental Congress, September 12, 1782, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. "Here it be resolved that the United States and Congress assembled recommend this edition of the Bible to the inhabitants of the United States." Did you know that, church? Did you know that the Congress actually printed, in 1782, the congressmen, it was one of the first Continental Congresses, they met and the members there, they said, "Hey, we've got this new nation. Now, how do we tell the people what is good and what's right and what's wrong?" Now, once again, we have to understand, right? We know that the Constitution said all men were free. We know slavery was going at the time. We know women weren't treated as best and equals, right? But regardless of all, we have to take that and realize God's truth, the word of Scripture, still goes forth. No matter when we sin, God's word is true, and our Constitution was written on the precepts of Scripture. Congress said, what was the only way to help unify the country, to keep us on track, to have a moral people, have people that were right and just? They said, "Hey, let's print the Bible and let's send it out to every man, woman, boy, and girl in America." Did you know that? Now, that will never be taught in schools or spoken about by one of our modern presidents. I would say Trump or Biden. They're not going to talk about this stuff. But Congress actually printed Bibles, paid for with taxpayers' money, and began to ship them to the 13 colonies. Did you know this? Interesting, right? The first Continental Congress, they realized that, second Continental Congress, they realized that America would drift, that, yeah, we had just won freedom, but we would go back to Europe and all the enslavements of Europe and communism, all that, they realized if we didn't have the Bible, if the Bible wasn't our anchor, we would turn once again to slavery. Just like Paul talked to the Galatians, you meant freedom, you had liberty, yet so easily you give up freedom and liberty for your own evil desires. How many of that's true we've met before in your walk with Christ? I've given up freedom in Christ for my own, what I wanted, my own sins I wanted to get more of. Once again, church, on this weekend of celebrating freedom, man, we need to pray for our nation that we don't turn back to what we were, what we fought for, but yet we would stand firm on the principles of Scripture. Our founders knew that the Scriptures pointed us to freedom. The founders knew that Jesus was the only true source of liberty and freedom. They knew that freedom from this holy Scripture could not be taken away by any man, by any government, that this was the founding of freedom. They knew that God the Father was the true foundation, but they also knew that the sins and the greed of men in America, the men of across the nations of the world would once again turn back and would fight against this, fight against the new nation. And they said, let's print the Bible and let's give our people the foundation to stand upon. Today, when we're celebrating freedom in our nation, we can be proud. America's not perfect, but we can be proud and be thankful. We have continued, we're moving forward and forward on towards what we've been called to, some of the principles and ideas in our Constitution. We're not there yet. We haven't arrived, right? Right? Just like we haven't arrived in Jesus, right? We go from glory to glory. We keep moving on in Jesus' name. Paul asked the Galatians similar questions. Who is telling you these lies and why are you believing them? Why are you following them? And we must ask ourselves in our nation, in our church, in our own walk as disciples of Jesus, who is telling us the lies? Who's speaking in our ear? Why are we believing them and why are we turning to them? Our government needs to ask it. Our politicians, our political figures need to be asking, why are we turning to the lies of other nations? To the lies, the deceitful lies of governments that are not God's servants and their styles that enslave people and kill people and murder and squash the gospel. We need to ask ourselves this today. In John chapter 8, verses 31 through 38, Jesus said this to the people who were asking him about what is freedom, what is truth. Jesus says this. He says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, quote, you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you. And remember, whenever Scripture says, when Jesus says, and behold, or truly, truly, or nevertheless, you need to pay attention because Jesus is about to drop the truth bomb. He's about to drop the mic on these people. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do not know, and you do, sorry, let me start over. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father. Man, Jesus, whoo, man, that is powerful. Now, how this ties in, Jesus is saying, hey, Jesus said, oh yeah, you said you're not enslaved, but Jesus said you are enslaved to the enemy, to Satan. You're enslaved to the lies of your Father, the one that speaks to you, the one that you turn to. Church, today Jesus can give us freedom, and he has, and he did. He gave us freedom, and we are no longer slaves anymore. Don't turn back, church. Man, we're free. Pray for our country. Pray that our country doesn't turn back. Pray that our country doesn't listen to the father of lies, Satan, or the arch enemy, that we would listen to God's word, to the Spirit, to Jesus himself. Pray that the churches of Siouxland would listen to Jesus. There are churches in Siouxland that preach heresy, that preach sexual perversion, that preach that Jesus isn't incarnate. He's not the Son of God. He wasn't born of a virgin. He didn't die. Churches right here in good old Iowa, the heartland, preach that. It's not in California. It's not New York. It's not in Philly. It's here, church. Church, we need to not turn. We need to listen to Jesus and say, Jesus, we hear you. We listen to your words. You set us free, and nobody can take that away from us. No government, no dictator, no president of either party can take away the freedom we have in Jesus. I want to remind us of a few things here. In our nation, America has been listening to the lies of our spiritual and political enemy, Satan. Let me say that again. America has listened to the lies of our spiritual and political enemy, Satan. I didn't say the Democrats, didn't say the Republicans, didn't say the Libertarians, I didn't say Trump or Biden. It's Satan. Satan will use anybody as his puppet to take any nation, any church offline. Think about this. He doesn't want a nation where the gospel can be preached. He doesn't want a nation filled with righteousness, repentance, and renewal. He doesn't want a nation that knows the difference between a man and a woman. Let's just be real. He doesn't want a nation that knows the difference between right and wrong, truth and error. So Satan will use anybody. He'll use any country, any dictator, any government. He'll use any organization in this world. You pick it. He will use it to destroy any nation that founds itself upon the Word of God. We're not a perfect nation, but we are founded on the Word of God. And Satan is weaving that. He's coming. He's trying to pull us back into slavery. Think about this. I mean, right now in America, I would submit to it. Satan has his hands on the proverbial neck of America. He's got his neck around idol worship, sexual perversion, the LGBT, everything. I mean, that's just gone anywhere. Fornication, anything, it's gone. That cork has been unpopped and it's released. He's got his hands around theft, massive debt, divorce, laziness, prejudice, libel, slander, destruction of nature, anger, violence, malice, murders, demonic influence. Satan is just gripping America. He's just squeezing the life out of us because we have given up our freedoms that have come from Jesus and we've turned back again to the yoke of slavery. Now you may think, Pastor Dan, you're spiritualizing this. You're going overboard. No, I'm not, church. Church, we're dying. We're dying. Now, it may look good. We may, well, Pastor Dan, we've got more things and we've progressed. And yes, we have, right? We have. America has righted some of the wrongs we have historically had, and praise God for that. We've had men and women that have risen up to fight against slavery, fight against abortion, fight for civil rights, which were always there in the beginning, but evil men's hearts turned away from Jesus. But, church, we have to be real. We are returning back to slavery, and our spiritual enemy, number one, is Satan. And, church, we need to pray. We need to fast. We need to repent. We need to intercede for our country, our fellow citizens, and be a light and shine and speak of that freedom. And I want to end in this, that even though we might see destruction, we might see some churches failing, we might see some things in America failing, I want to give you this, that there is hope, that there is a path to freedom. Because Jesus didn't come, he didn't come and say, hey, you're condemned, I can't save you. What did Jesus do? He came and he died for us. He said, hey, I'm here to redeem my people. I'm here to squash Satan, death, hell, and the grave. And he said, here's the pathway to freedom. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to read these scriptures. Turn with me, and we're going to read these scriptures, all right? Turn with me in your scriptures. They won't be on your screen. And I want you to read them out loud with me, okay? Read them out. We're going to read them out loud because it's great to hear the Word of God spoken out loud. And then we're going to read these scriptures, and I'm going to give you a chance to tell of your testimony, a quick, brief, how has God redeemed you? What did he set you free from? Romans 3:23, pathway to freedom. It says, read with me. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Turn over to Romans 6:23. Many of you know these probably by heart. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Turn over with me to Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2. Verses 8 and 9. In church, while we speak these verses prophetically over our nation, over our Siouxland, over your family, over you've got kids, loved ones, aunts and uncles that don't know Jesus or are listening to the lies that Satan that says, oh, you've done so much bad that God will never forgive you. That is a lie. May that be thrown in the pit of hell. Because these verses says that Jesus can redeem anyone. Let's keep reading. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Read it with me. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, for it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, or no man can boast. Man, come on, amen to that one. Turn with me over to Romans. Let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. And I would encourage you, put these verses in memory. When you're out talking with people at Hy-Vee or in the marketplace or at your job, you can go through these verses. It's an easy way to say, man, look what Jesus did for us. Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. Let's read it here, church. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on his name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Man, we could stop there. Praise him for days. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Anyone. Anyone. And 1 John 1:9. 1 John. 1 2 Timothy, Hebrews, James, 1 2 Peter, Jude. I mean, before Jude. 1 John. 1 John 1, 9. All right, everybody get there. 1 John 1, 9. Let's read it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, we're free, church, right? Today is Freedom Weekend, celebrating freedom. We are free indeed, right? And that's the pathway to freedom. And don't you love it? The pathway doesn't involve Republicans, Democrats, America, Constitution. That's all great stuff. Great, praise God, whatever. It's in the background. that's peon stuff compared to Jesus. This is the pathway to freedom. And it's the pathway for our nation. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment. If you want to share, I'm going to pass the mic around. Just share. What was your pathway to freedom? What has God delivered you of? What's your salvation story? Whatever you want to share. What has God done in your life? Just a brief sharing. Anybody want to share? I'll share. June 1999, I was driving my little car, my 86 Buick Century, and I surrendered my life to Jesus. And I was running from God, even though I was in church, grew up. My dad was a deacon. I was, the deacon's kid. I was running from God hard in my heart, my mind, my actions. I was doing things that we just read that Paul said, when you would not inherit the kingdom because of these lists of things. I was doing those things, and I felt the Holy Spirit come in and forgive, and I surrendered and felt redeemed. And from that day on, I know God has redeemed my life and changed my life. But I remember feeling that presence, that forgiveness, that freedom, that, whoa, I am free from the chains of sin and darkness in my life. But who wants to share it? Quick testimony. What has God done in your life? Anybody? It's okay. I know it's a thing to give our testimony, but okay. All right. Oh, let me go over here. Thomas, let me go over here. Thank you, Thomas, being the first one.
Well, I grew up in the church, but my first church camp is where I finally felt the Spirit of the Holy Spirit come onto me. Mm. And it was very emotional, cried a lot. No specific reason except for the fact that the Spirit was there. And from there, God's done so many things, either through my surgery or through just showing me a new aspect of Him, just showing me to be patient, showing me to have joy, showing me to have love, and just every moment just finding a new aspect of Him to have glory in.
That's good. That's good. Thank you. That's right. All right, Hannah, what's your testimony?
So I was raised in witchcraft. That's what I learned from my mom, my father. The witchcraft with all those lies like reincarnation and, that people coming and possessing your body and stuff like that is a long story. But then I always believed in God. I never got involved with witchcraft, but that's what I believed. And in June, 1977. Before that, I challenged God because I believed in God. I knew He existed, and I knew He was much higher than anything I could imagine, and I asked Him, if you show me your way, I will follow you, but you have to talk to me. And I was always a person who liked to study and, this. And my conversation with God was, mathematically, is impossible that all the ways lead to you because two parallel lines will never meet, and two completely divergent will never meet. So among all those things that I heard, there must be one way who leads to you, and no matter what it is, if you show me, I will follow you. But it needs to be you, because once I make this decision, is for, for my whole life. And in 1977, in June, I gave my life to the Lord. And here I am.
Awesome. He showed up. Yep. Okay. Yeah, Sean.
So I was a PK, pastor's kid, and spent all my life in church, you know, Bible studies, book studies, you know, and when I was around 27, 28, I suddenly, God just gave me grace to realize that I knew all about Jesus, but I didn't know him. Mm-hmm. I didn't know him. And so I decided, and I'd prayed, you know, I spent all my life praying and reading the Bible through and through, you know, but I didn't know Jesus. I just knew about him. And so I got on the floor and I just said, Lord, if you want what's left of this wretched life, I give you all my no's. I will never tell you no if I know what you want me to do. Hmm. So now I'm 71. It's been a long time.
Okay. We got Jeremy then. All right. What's God done in your life? Your testimony, your path to freedom. Yep. Let's see.
Man, I don't even know where to begin. Also, the Lord said, set me free from every addiction imaginable. And I was heavily involved with witchcraft for a number of years. And it came down to a head when I was in jail on possession charges of drugs. And when I walked in, I saw at least 20 different Bibles. And I just started to put, the Holy Spirit started to work in me and letting me know that I wasn't there to be punished. I was there to make a decision.
That's good.
And so I finally picked up one of them Bibles and started reading. And then one morning I woke up real early. In general population, there was a TV and everybody was sleeping. It must have been 3 or 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. And the only thing that was on TV was a Christian radio station. And I started to listen to it. And I gave my life to the Lord then and there.
Awesome.
With tears and snot and everything else. And I remember trying to confess every sin that I'd ever committed. And the Holy Spirit said, we'll be here for a very long, long time. You don't have to do that. You're forgiven.
Man, come on. That's good, Jeremy. Look where we got today, brother. Come on. Come on.
Amen.
Man, redeemed, married. Come on. That's right. That's it. Okay, go ahead.
So I often have struggled with how to sing my own freedom song. You know, it's like I know the Lord deeply and his peace and his freedom, but like getting it communicated is something I struggle with. So I like what Sean said. I need to give him my nose, you know? And so that's the process I've been through, going through this last couple years. So I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I don't want to sit here and give all these gory details of my life and the shame and all the things. And Jesus is clearly, or God has put that here in the works of the flesh. It's no different. My story is no different than any sinful place any of us has come from. So what I want to say freedom looks like for me, and you know, there's a lot of death that I could share with you about my life on earth. However, at 42, I can tell you that freedom is right thinking. It's the ability to be connected to Christ and say that sexual immorality isn't the way. But, you know, there's joy, there's love, there's peace. All these fruits aren't just a nice list to make you feel good. It's life. And patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, these things are available daily to us, and that's freedom. That's freedom, because these other lists, and the lists I could give you that's probably just a rewording of this list, that is like what Dan was saying. That is Satan's hands around my neck. I know you were talking about America and the church, but I know what that feels like. And freedom from that is this list, and the ability to just call that covering and be connected to you. You know, I may not say this eloquently, but that's okay. I am living it, and if I have an opportunity to say, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord, I'm going to do that. And I can say that looking back on my life, I feel that I was raised in a lion's den where God said, you know, close the mouth, and he drew a line and said, not her, don't touch her. Amen. Mm. And that is why I'm here today. And he also has the gory details. If I'm supposed to share that, I'm not giving him a no. I'm just saying, you've heard it. You've heard all the things. You've lived, you know, you've smelled death. You've smelled sin. We all have fallen short. But this right here is the freedom. Mm-hmm. And it's available not just, you know, 1980 or whenever you say you were, you know, you met him. Those are wonderful things. But it's the freedom that we wake up in. It's the freedom that we walk in. It's the freedom to say, I don't have to think this way. I don't have to walk in this path. I can stop, I can turn, mm-hmm. I can call on Christ, and I can plead his name over whatever it is that this struggle is and take that step. Mm-hmm. That changes everything. That changes everything in your home, inside your being. That's the laying down in peace, sleeping, knowing. You know, and this is one more thought, but you know, you had the Patrick Henry quote up there, and it was, give me liberty or give me death. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, that's give me liberty or give me liberty. That's, you know, we talk about death, but who conquered it? Who has said that's not a problem anymore for us? Right. So we have an arrival to look forward to, not a departure to fear.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because of this, because of freedom and because of what he's done.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? That's good. I'm gonna add that to my notes, babe. That's a whole other message, right there. That's good. Okay. All right. God's good, right? God's redeemed us, right? We are free all the time. He's good. So let's do this. Stand up with me. Let's do this as we close.